Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's Word. Yes, that song was Go and Tell Somebody. Tell somebody about the good news of Christ. For he has risen and he has set the captives free. He has given sight to the blind. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify and just uplift your name. Why? Because you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. We say hallelujah to you. We say hallelujah to you. We say hallelujah to you. Thank you, God. Emmanuel, you are with us, Father God. We praise your holy and majestic name. Father, we thank you for your breath and your strength that you gave us life today to come before the throne, Father God, as we ask for forgiveness of our sins. Father God, you accept us, Father God, to the throne to petition to you, Father, all the blessings you have for our life. We thank you, Father God, that you have risen, Father God, because you loved us as you loved your Son. Thank you, Father God. So as I go forward, Father God, I ask that David decrease and the Holy Spirit rise up big in me and bring the truth of your word, Father God. Bring the truth of your word that it has dunamis power, Father God, to touch the hearts of many. Father God, you are wonderful, God. I praise you, Father God. I just want to praise you, Father God, for all you've done for us. You have done so much, Father God, that there could never be enough words, Father God, that the stars in the heaven could never compare to how much you have done for us. So we just thank you, Father God. As I go forward, Father, and those that have under the sound of my voice, Father God, let them have ears to hear, Father God. You said it often in Revelation, those that have ears to hear, let them hear, Father God. Those spiritual ears that will open up their heart and receive you, Father God. Receive you, Father God. I'm just the messenger, but that message you're going to send, Father God, will go with the power to change the hearts of many. For we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Father God. To the best of our human and spiritual ability, praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited today. Why I'm excited? Because Satan has been busy trying to knock me off my square, but that's okay because God is always there. Hallelujah. Today's quote for the day is, there is hope in the future. There's literally power in the present. Zig Ziglar. Hope sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. Helen Keller. The future depends on what we do in the present. Gandhi. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And Titus 2:13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And Acts 24:15 said, having hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both just and the unjust. And in Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you a little story about a doctor who basically matured in Christ. See, Dr. Mary Neal knew without a doubt that God is real. But before her near-death experience where two skeptic scientists visit heaven, she had way more doubt than faith. And her testimony is truly incredible. As a child in the 1950s, Mary's parent made certain that she went to church. But as she grew up, her claims to Christianity were purely superficial. Then Mary went off to college, where she joined the religion of intellect. She traded spiritual belief for a true, grounded in scientific facts. She called herself a Christian. She agreed with the moral guidelines of Christianity offer, but Mary lacked a personal relationship with Jesus. She aimed at being a good person, but didn't necessarily acknowledge Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But all would change. God had a special plan for finding a way to Mary's heart. Hallelujah. The kayak accident that led to this near-death experience. In 1999, Mary took a trip to Chile. But while kayaking, Mary found herself trapped underwater, drowning. She said, "We were kayaking on a section of the river well known for its waterfalls. The formal normal Christian science began her story. As I crested the waterfall, I knew things were not going to be well for me. As Mary kayak went over the waterfall, it capsized and began to pin beneath 8 to 10 feet of raging water. The weight of the current pushed Mary into the front of the boat where she could do nothing free of herself. During this time, Mary experienced what she described as a radical shift in time and dimension. Despite the lifetime fear of drowning, Mary found herself surprisingly at peace. I was being held in comfort and being reassured that everything was fine, regardless of whether I would live or die." She recalled also noting that she knew it was Jesus who was comforting her. "I was taken through the life review that was the first of many profound parts of this experience for me. And during this life review, Mary said she saw and understood things in a profound way. And from the perspective of all of the individuals involved in each moment they review, I was shown the truth in God's promises that beauty really does come from all things," she said. Science visits heaven. After the life review, Mary felt her physical body come free from being pinned. But at the same moment, her spirit separated from her body. As it did, she met by a group of beings. She's not quite sure what to call them, but she suspects they were angels. And as Mary communicated with them, she recalled being able to look back and see her physical body, which had come out of the river and had CPR administered. The spirit of the skeptic scientist visited heaven while her physical body stayed behind. Though God ultimately gave Mary her life back on earth, she still recalled feeling at peace and truly at home during her out-of-body experience. The event completely changed Mary's belief. She came back to earth knowing without a doubt of God's existence and love. And after her experience, she came back to earth with a calling to help others develop trust in all God's promises. Hallelujah. Though the scientists in her use to discount her God existence, she now knows he is exactly who he say he is. The reality of God is now part of every breath she takes. And God's presence is a part of every thought I have. The moral of the story is, despite ourselves and how we sometimes think that our education, human wisdom, cares of the world get in the way, we can lose sight of the truth of God's plan for us. And when a part of his plan comes to pass that is not favorable but testable, we will find in that moment how we didn't put hope for the future into play. Therefore, like Mary, we come to learn that God's plan of salvation that includes hope for the future is real and becomes real to us every day when we spend time with him. So we're going to pick back up on the series, Salvation is Free, but Spiritual Maturity Costs, Working Out Our Salvation. But today we're going to jump right into the last of the conclusion of the series. And as I said, salvation is free, but maturity costs. Working out our salvation. For working out our salvation by utilizing the seven plans applies for us to better understand what is required of us to be equipped to do what Jesus stated his purpose was, which is, was to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, set the liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. Those plans that we talked about were plans of salvation, plan of development, plan of maturity, plan of execution, plan for the future, and plan for prosperity. So we're going to go right into the plan of future and prosperity. I have come to the conclusion that the future is all about hope. Yes, Jesse would say, keep hope alive. It's all about hope. We can't make the future be exactly what we want it to be, nor can we stop what is supposed to happen in the future. However, we can only think, prepare, and develop for the future in that which we seek, desire, or pray for will come to pass. Yet God says in his word that he gives us hope for the future and that he has a plan for us to prosper. See, the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plan I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is where all the plans come together, people. The plan of salvation, the plan of development, the plan of growth, the plan of maturity, the plan of execution that leads us right into the future for us to prosper. This is about the now. This is what the plan was all about, our now, or for those who like the politically correct world, our present moment, where we reach the level of wealth as God defines prosperity, not as the way we have been conditioned through the world's concept of prosperity. Well, let's look at for a moment how we construct this meaning through the eyes of the world. However, let me point out that when I talk of the world, I know some Christians are not going to like, just because many feel they have been transformed, renewed, sanctified, redeemed, and now they have nothing to do with the world. However, let me put the mirror in front of us all. Before we got saved, we were all a part of the meaning of what Michael Jackson's song would say, we are the world. However, when we accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we were set free from the law of sin and death. And yes, we are now sanctified and redeemed, but unless we are in the spirit with God, we are still in the world. When we talk about being transformed, which by definition means we are in the act or process of being transformed, moving towards daily change in our appearance, our nature, and character. How do I know this is a fact? Because the Spirit gave to Paul what he wrote in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. See, Paul was telling us that we are to move from the old ways of view of prosperity of the world to being changed from the past by renewing our minds, the process, and preparing for the future. This, again, is all about God's plan of prosperity, where he gives us hope and a future. However, this prosperity is not about the temporary attainment that the world knows as prosperity, but this is about the progressive change in our heart and our mind over the course of our lifetime. This hope in the future that God talks about is regarded prosperity that is centered on the internal change that it has an outward manifestation, which comes from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. It's an internal change that once takes hold and moves us through the spiritual system, if you will, where it begins to produce invisible changes that over time produce a discernible harvest from the seed that God's knowledge, wisdom, that helps us to develop, to understand what the true prosperity of one's hope for the future really is all about. I'm talking about in the present moment, but always moving towards progression for our future. So let us not forget where we come from. I've seen many people who have moved into the world's meaning of prosperity, which by Western definition says a state of being wealthy, having riches and a full life, a condition of being successful or thriving towards economic well-being. And as soon as God gives them this worldly prosperity, how soon they forget where they come from. Like the Hebrew brothers who quickly forgot that they were once slaves of the world but were set free. But now the Bible says something different about prosperity. Prosperity is not about the attainment of wealth or living a life of worldly luxury, but it's about thriving as a person to become what God intended for you to be. Well, you are living a life fully engaged with the principle he presents, taught, and is developing in us to true prosperity in him. You see, this is not only about prosperity in the moment, but about our future. Hallelujah. This is about spiritual transformation. This is about letting patience have its perfect work. I'm not sure if I ever entertained patience was a part of the plan for the future, where I thought it was in line with the spiritual transformation until the Holy Spirit showed me in his word. See, the scripture tells us in James 4 and 5, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God that give all men freely and without finding fault, he will give it to him. See, God ain't looking to find fault in us if we're seeking him out to get his wisdom. He said, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, we must have the ability to wait on something in the future, what we endure no matter how tedious it may be. This requires us to be like God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, to be humble, not double-minded, and have resiliency to bounce back and hang in there like God constantly does for us when we fall short and let him down. See, he don't walk away. As he say, he the same yesterday and forevermore. He say he would never leave us or forsake us. He is always there, no matter what. We can always know that he's going to be with us. Hallelujah. Excuse me. And when he showed us his mercy, grace, and forgiveness, despite our disobedience, such in the case of Peter to Jesus, where the Lord was merciful and graceful, slow to anger, and abound in steadfast love. See, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has hope for us regardless of our lack in our present moment. For their eyes could see our future, that we would one day prosper over time. Hallelujah. So let's look at some of the characters in the Bible who the Lord gave hope and a future and was patient with them as he is with us. Peter's denial. Peter was a fisherman, a man with a lot of issues that we all have, being impetuous, overconfident, quick to speak instead of listen, quick to act instead of being patient. But Jesus had a plan that would feel hope and bring about prosperity. Well, Peter would develop from being a pebble or a small stone to become the rock for which the church would stand. Matthew 16:18 says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer. Hallelujah. And then there's Sarah and Abraham taking matters into their own hands. God had a plan for Abraham that gave him hope and a future, which he would promise. He made a promise with him in Genesis 17:4, 5, and 15. It said, I promise that you will be a father of many nations. That while I now change your name from Abel to Abraham, I will give you a lot of descendants. And in the future, hallelujah, they will become great nations, and some of them will even be kings. Let me go back to that again. He said, I will give you a lot of descendants, he promised, and in the future, they will become great nations, and some of them will be kings. And Abraham, your wife will now be Sarah instead of Sarai. I will bless her, and you will have a baby by her, and she will become the mother of nations, and some of her descendants will even be kings. Hallelujah. Here we note in Genesis the story that tells us that Sarah was impatient after 10 years of waiting. Let's remember, we're talking about God giving us hope and a prosperity for the future. But Sarah grew weary and took matters in her own hand. She lacked patience and trust in God to keep his promise. However, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. However, like Sarah, we all fall short in sin and miss this mark sometimes. Yet God is faithful to his promise, despite ourselves, that he will give us hope and a future where we will still prosper. His words do not return void. So what should we do to ensure that we continue on our spiritual journey to work out our salvation in order to maintain our hope and God's plan for our future? That we do not waver when the waves of life come to tip over the boat of hope, in order that we do not get to the promised shore of prosperity. Well, God's promise of hope is for the future can manifest in our lives. Well, here are a few things we might want to consider as we move through working out our salvation that keeps our hope alive as we progress towards God's future hope for us. The plan for future and prosperity. We must be diligent. God's word tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. See, we got to seek God's kingdom first. That is the first thing. We must do this with diligence. And in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. We have to seek him. We have to search for him. We got to be diligent. It's just like if you're trying to get concert tickets, you got to be diligent about that. And some people stand in line for 2 or 3 days because they're seeking to get that reward, which is those tickets. That's how we have to be. See, in the world, we're so diligent about everything. If we want to get a new car, we're going to work hard to get it. If we want to go out of town on a trip, we're going to diligently work hard to get the money up. We are very diligent. But when it comes down to the one who gives us all this, we move with slow feet. We move like a tortoise. Now, I get the story of the tortoise and the hare. And, you know, we go alone. But in this case, you got to be diligent about getting. And the one thing I give to the tortoise, he stayed diligent in the race because he completed the race. That's what we got to be about. And see, in 2 Peter 5 through 11, it says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the young lady, the doctor, she had lost her sight. She had lost her way, but Jesus came to give sight to the blind. She was aware of Christ, but she didn't have that relationship with Christ. She didn't build that relationship with Christ. She didn't diligently see Christ. She said, I prefer to get my knowledge from science. From man, basically, I'm going to be a good person. I like the principles of Christianity, but I'm not going to seek out that personal relationship. So therefore, she was diligently seeking out Christ. And see, this is where we miss it. This is where we miss it. For we must do this. But he said, but he that like these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was plunged from his old sins. Hallelujah. Wherefore, thou, reverend brethren, give diligence to make your calling, election, your choice sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. He gives us hope and a future. Hallelujah. Then the next thing we want to do, we want to exercise faithfulness. We should be faithful in our effort to work out our salvation as he gives us hope and prosperity for the future. See, in 2 Chronicles 1:16, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I had a conversation with someone, and I was saying to them that you have my loyalty. You have a commitment that I would give up myself from the spirit of the Holy Spirit working through me to show you that I am there for you. See, everybody, I realize this about myself. When I look back over time, I may not always done everything someone wants, but I'm loyal to the core. I'm loyal to the cause. I'm loyal. If you need me, I'm there. I was this way, my mother said, when I was a child, and I haven't changed since. Now, someone told me that was an attribute God put in me. Wasn't none that I necessarily did myself. It was just a part of my character. Somebody else may have the characteristic traits or the attributes of being really patient. But loyalty was mine. So God wants us to be loyal to him. Now, I know that that's a process, too. That's something we have to keep working at because, like the young lady, sometimes we can get off track because we entertain some of the worldly thought, the worldly teaching, and it compromises our loyalty. It compromises our diligence. It compromises our faith. But we got to stay in the race because God gives us hope and prosperity for the future. Hallelujah. So God is looking for people whose heart is fully his and is loyal to him. And if we are faithful to God, he will show himself strong towards us in all that we do. Let's search our heart and make sure it is loyal and faithful to God. Now, again, in this body, since it's always up against the spirit, you're going to have those times where on this journey, on this level, as I said, spiritual maturity cost, it's going to cost you. It's going to test you. It's going to challenge you. We talked about in previous series where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was going to have to prove his loyalty to God. He was going to have to prove that he was going to be diligent of being about his father's business. He was going to have to show that he would fight the good fight of faith. And he would not give in to the tempter who was trying to deceive him. He did not let the ways of the world, and he had those challenges even outside of the wilderness by the people who always test him, even down to saying, who are you? So you see, we all have to go through these trials and tribulations, but we have to stay faithful and loyal to the cause. And what is that all about? Having the spirit of a soldier. We must continue to arm ourselves with the weapon that God provides. For as we walk on this journey, for there will be battlefields we must enter. But we must remember what the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. See, we got to trust God's weaponry, not man. Oh, I tell you, being a soldier, we got some bad weapons out there. We can make things happen. We can hit a fly wing at 300 meters. Yes, we got some good weapons, but it don't match up to the weapons that God got. So he says that we must recognize that we take on his armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. Why? Because on this journey, the evil days are coming in order to kill, steal, and destroy our hope and our future, that surely we will not be prosperous. This is what Satan's about. For Ephesians tells us that. Therefore, take on the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand firm. Thus, as a soldier, we are able to share in the good, as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. This is in 2 Timothy 2:3, sharing the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then in Psalms 18:39, for you equip me with the strength for the battle. You made those who rise up against me sink under me. See, David understood that. That he said he would take the head of Goliath and hold it up to God and let people know that his God was powerful, his weaponry was powerful. As I talked about being a soldier, Saul wanted to give him his armor, but he knew the armor that he had would be much more effective. He would not fall. He would not fail. He would defeat the foe. And then life, this is what comes as with all the things going on in our world today, with the virus and the uproar, the rioting, the discrimination, the confusion. I tell you, people, we cannot get caught up in that. See, it's not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. Time and time again, when I talk to people, they want to defend the race. And someone said to me today the same thing. And I say, I understand that. I understand discrimination. I was in the Army 37 years. I've seen a whole lot of discrimination. I was among more Caucasians, if you will, and not to take none from my Caucasian brother, because I love them dearly. They took well good care of me. But I always ask somebody who has so much hurt, so much pain, that is manifested to hatred, that it has to come out some way. And for some who have not Christ in their life, who is blinded by everything, such as Paul was blinded. But when God comes along, when Jesus comes along, when the Holy Spirit gets in you, it will change that. Paul can wipe it off his face and he can see. And he said, I once was blind, but now I see. See, we see people and they're doing all these unscrupulous things, these terrible things, those horrific things. Why? Because they hurt. They in pain that has manifested anger. And Jesus said, be angry, but sin not. But when you know not Jesus, you're going to sin. And this is what we see. See, I said this the gentleman Sunday, if you take every race, creed, or color, stick them in the incinerator and pull them out, yes, you will not be able to tell what race they is. Because you know what they're going to be? What they were always were. They're going to go back to dust because that's what they was, dust. We have to look at the spirit. And this is what Jesus come to set the captives free, to set the oppressed free. People are oppressed by who they're oppressed by, not by you or me. They oppressed just like you and I by Satan and his worldly devices and lies. But we got to wake up, as the song was played by Elder Docs last week. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. You got to open your eyes. You got to get up. You got to get up, and you got to diligently seek God. You got to diligently seek his guidance. You got to diligently seek his wisdom. You got to diligently seek his word. You got to diligently seek understanding. He don't say to seek out, be right or wrong. He tell you to seek understanding. So when you get understanding, you don't look at your brother or sister of the other ethnic group and see them the way Satan wants you to see them. You see them like God saw Peter. You see them like God saw Noah. You see them like God saw Abraham. You see them like God saw Ruth. You see them like God saw Esther. You see the potential. You see the hope. You see the future. You see them prospering in God's realm. Hallelujah. That's what you see. That's what you see. And see, when you move into this area, 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us, no soldier gets entangled in the civilian's pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Woo! That's shouting ground right there. I got to say that again. He said, no soldier gets entangled in the civilian's pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Jesus enlisted into his army, people. We're soldiers. The spirit of a soldier lives. The spirit of the soldier stands. The spirit of the soldier fight. The spirit of the soldier fight the good fight of faith. We don't get caught up in this worldly pursuit anymore. We have nothing to prove of that nature. We got the nature of God now. We got the nature of Christ now. Now, I get it. We fall short. We miss it. We sin. All right, but he gave us an out for that. But we have to stay in the race. We got to keep staying diligently, focusing on the one who enlisted us. And how we do this, people? We do this in the act of love. Everything we do should be done in our journey about love. The whole reason that Jesus came was to set us free from the eternal punishment of hell, that we would have hope for eternal future, where the meaning of prosperity is not about what we have here on earth, but what we would put up in heaven. Titus tells us in 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the age began. Before it all began, God had already promised our future. God had already promised that we would prosper, that that no weapon formed against us would prosper. He already promised that. Why? Because he sent his son, and what his son was about? Being about my father's business. That if it be thy will. See, he was about God's will, not his own. See, that's the power of love. See, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or envy or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrong. Love always protects, always preserves, always about the truth. Hallelujah. 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 This hope and the future that God's promised, this is what it's all about, my friend. This is what it's all about. Therefore, we should strive to stay in the race as we work out our salvation before God's, following God's plan to give us hope and a future. We must diligently seek God and his kingdom, come in faith, that we add virtue, that gives us knowledge, that leads us into temperance, developing our patience, moving us towards godliness and brotherly kindness. This fact helps us produce love. In order for us that it will help us to reach our higher calling for the future through our God's godly choices, in order that we never fail. This hope in the future that God promises is what it's all about. See, Matthew 6:19-21 tells us, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourself treasures in heaven where the moth and the vermin do not destroy, where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasures is, there your heart is also. The whole series was about the spiritual transformation, where we move towards a fundamental change as we work out our salvation, as we move into our place of consecration that allows us to move into the form of the character of our Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, where our fundamental change moves us on a path to become closer to the Holy One, our loving Father, that always will give us hope for our future, to lead us on a spiritual journey to a plan of salvation, of freedom that He has truly set us free. That's what this is about, people. That's what this is about. See, the word tells us in Hebrews 23:25, hold fast our hope without wavering, for He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to fulfill His promise. And Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. That's what this series is about. Salvation is free, but maturity costs. That spiritual maturity costs. What are you willing to do? See, Jesus was willing to take on the sins of the world in His body. He was willing to put on, allow them to put on this wreath, if you will, with all the piercing thorns in His head. He was willing to take those 39 stripes. He was willing to let them put the nails in His hand and feet. And one day I was thinking about that, and you know, have you ever seen somebody hit their knee or something, you feel that little jolt in your own body? I was trying to think about the intensity of what He was willing to do, to take on our suffering, take on our punishment, take on our reasons that we should be going to hell. And He didn't do that just as He said, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He didn't just do that for those people then. He do it for every human being that comes through the world who was willing to receive Him as a personal Lord and Savior. But we don't start off that way. So right off the top, He's doing this regardless. It's not about what we do. It was but what He did. And what He did was shown love. He wasn't self-seeking. He wasn't about trying to exercise His power and authority, because He sit on the right hand of God. He was about showing love. He was about showing love. And so it's important for us to recognize that we should move, we should live, and we should breathe love as we go through our spiritual journey. Yes, we're saved. We're born again, and most of us have received the Holy Spirit, and we Bible, scripture talking, tongue talking. But at the end of the day, if it was out love, it's for naught. See, when we look at our brothers and sisters, when you're among your family, how much do you spend showing them a sacrifice that you love them? I see people many times, they cringe when I say that word. And they give me all the excuses why we shouldn't say that word. But they don't mind using all the other four-letter words. See, we got to learn what love is all about. Again, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Letting go of the worldly ideals of it. This is a process, people. You're not going to get it overnight. I rarely have seen anybody who become pro in anything get it overnight. But those that stay diligent, those that stay faithful, those that soldier up, they usually receive the reward. And I was telling someone, this is a marathon, people. The only one who's going to be number one to finish the race first is Jesus. But if you pay attention to a marathon, you'll see people at different levels, and they're running. Sometimes the one that's way ahead drops back, and sometimes the one that drops back can pick it back up. And sometimes people are even keel, and then sometimes they get a little ahead and a little behind. But then there's the people on the side. We call them the people that iron sharpen iron, where one is handling the bottle, one is throwing the towel, one's helping them stay in the race. That's what we got to do. We got to help people stay in the race. Jesus is already on the other side, and He said the battle's already won. Victory is ours. So therefore, we just got to stay in the race. But we got to be diligent about it. We got to be faithful about it. We got to be committed. And sometimes it takes time. So we got to let patience have a perfect work. Because this is what God is about. This is what he wants us to be about. It's all about hanging in this race so that we can develop, we can grow, we can mature, we can execute, we can see our future, and we can prosper. And this prosperity is building that relationship with God, that we build our treasures up in heaven and not here on earth. If anybody's lived long enough, you see how fast prosperity can go from the worldly perspective. You can have it today and be broke today. We seen Mike Tyson was worth $300 million. Now he's down to a few, and that's because he got blessed to open up some doors, open up to him, and picked up a few million. But at one point, he was under the million. That's how fast it goes. Holyfield was worth $50 million, and it's gone. That's how fast it can go. You can be rich today and broke today. So we don't want to be spiritually broke. We don't want to be spiritually impoverished. We want to be spiritually strong. We want to be like Samson in spirit. We want to know that we can come to the throne of grace and come to him and ask him. And he said if we ask him and believe in our heart, he will answer us. The thing we should be striving for is, God, keep me in the race. Keep me as I go through my spiritual journey. Help me to mature in you. And then as the song started out, but it didn't get to complete, then it said, go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody the good news of God. Because this is what he came here for. This is what he came here for. He came to set the captives free. He came to relieve the oppressed. He came to help the poor, but the poor in spirit. He came to give hope and a future that we could prosper for eternity, not this temporary existence, but the eternal existence. This is what it's about, people. So as I go to close on this series, I hope that you go back and pick up on some of the other sessions where you can get some more depth on it and you do your due diligence so you can gain knowledge and insight on your own and let the Spirit give you the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding so that you may rightfully discern the word of truth. For I'm just a man, but the word of God will always stand. And you just have to be willing to do your due diligence. You know, you can't skim over the word. See, if somebody told you, if you read the Bible, I give you $1 million, and you need to be able to tell me the gist of it or the depth of it, if you will, you probably do your due diligence. This is how we have to be invested in God's word. And he said, he who seek me early, we got to get out of that bed, as I said. Wake up and seek him early, because you know what happened. It happens to me. I get up 4 a.m, I go seek God, and even then Satan shows up, trying to get all in my head with the things of the world. And I just say to him, Satan, that's your stuff, that ain't mine. I'm about right now this business of talking to my Father. So we got to be diligent about this. And how do you go about this, people, if you don't know God? If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you don't know that God's promises is real, that you don't know that God will be with you today and forevermore, if you don't know that God cares for you, if you don't know God can heal you, if you don't know God will prosper you, if you don't know that God gives you hope for your future, I see so many people walking around and they feel hopeless. Why? This ain't about this here life. I get it. I was out there. I get it. I understood what was out there. I get it. I know what's out there. But we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how do you go about doing this? You have to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead and thou can be saved. For accepting him by confessing that you believe in him, you can be saved. This is about salvation. This is not about the temporary salvation that the world gives. This is about eternity. This is about forever and ever, forever and ever and ever. If you're blessed to live 100, I just saw a gentleman who lived 103 years old, and he's a bodybuilder, and he gave his ideals about living. But at the end of the day, he will transition. And he, no matter how he took care of his body, if he didn't take care of that spiritual body, it was all for naught. All for naught. So people, do not be deceived. Satan's business, and he is about his business too. He will not be employed for a while, unemployed for a while, But at the end of the day, he will be. But while he's here, he's diligently doing, seeking who he can destroy, roaming around to kill, to steal your joy, your hope, your future. So how can you defeat him? By getting the one who already defeated him, which is Jesus. So accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. And again, there are many, many people out here telling somebody that Jesus is Lord, telling somebody the good news. You got to have ears to hear, people. Be not deceived. Let your heart be open. Let it not be hardened like Pharaoh. Let your heart be open to receive the truth. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said when he gives us life, he gives it to us more abundantly. And if you want true abundance, you want true peace that surpasses all understanding, and when you get up, you have this unspeakable joy, you need to be saved. And if you are saved and you're struggling, then you know what to do. Get in that word. Get in that word. And it will help you. Yes, the flesh will be down. My mom was talking today. Some days you just feel that way. Yes, it is feel that way. But that's where the resiliency comes. You bounce back. How can you bounce back? Because you got the power of God to help you bounce back. You got the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures, make them live in your body. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body and make you alive. So this is what it's about. But as I said, there are many teachers out there giving good news. Open up your ears. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Be transformed. Then you can get this from kingdombuildingplaza@gmail.com and Kingdom Development. Go to the website. Go to the YouTube and get this word, because this word is powerful. And there, God is using us. Why are we using us? Because we humble ourselves and seek him first. Humble yourself and seek God. For again, I say to you, stay up, look up, and never give up on God. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Thank you. I see you next week. We got some more good stuff to offer. And again, as the word tells you, love thy neighbors and love thyself. For there's no greater commandment than this. Hallelujah. Have a good evening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed.